All right, we are recording and broadcasting, and the floor is yours.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And we'll do a roll call, please.
Director Ray Russum?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here. Could Director Lee, could you please lead us in the flag salute?
I would be happy to. So go ahead and mute yourselves, put your hand over your hearts. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. You. And that brings us to agenda review. Is there anything on the agenda that we want to change or move or anything? So we'll accept, note that we accept the agenda as presented. Okay, that brings us to item 4, public comment for items that are not on the agenda. So Amy, do we have any public comment?
You're muted, Amy.
I see no public comment.
Okay, thank you. So no public comment. We'll go into our consent agenda, which is the approval of the warrants, the meeting minutes September 15th, and the approval of the new Vaughn horizontal pump, the approval to purchase a new Headworks Influent slide gate and replacement parts for existing slide gates at the chlorine contact tank. So is there any discussion or anything anybody wants to pull from the consent agenda? We're all okay. Okay, so I'm going to open the consent agenda up to public comment.
There are no public commenters.
Okay, so I'll bring it back to the board. Is there any comments or anyone to make a motion?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. And we'll do a roll call, please. Amy?
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I just want to comment that I think it's great that we're doing these preventative maintenance things, getting them all done right now at this time. And I'm glad to see these were on the agenda to get taken care of.
And all that right, they're budgeted.
Pardon me?
And that they're budgeted already.
Yes, they were already budgeted. So it's good job. Good job to see those. And we'll go on now to our action items, which is 6A is adopt a resolution to continue to allow remote board meetings. So we'll ask for public comment on this.
There is no public comment.
Okay, can we have any discussion or does anybody want to make a motion on this item?
Did we have a staff report on that?
The board adopts it. Yeah, there's a resolution and a staff report.
Do we if we skipped that part.
Well, I didn't know if we did. Do you want to go ahead and give a staff report, Jeremy, on the?
Yeah, so I'll introduce the item and then have Keith talk briefly about it. Assembly Bill 361 really establishes that agencies have to make findings in order to continue teleconference meetings. And at this point, I'll turn it over to Keith if you want to give the staff report that you prepared.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Gent. The staff report is pretty brief. It's a pretty simple bill that affords public agencies the right to continue to have these telephonic meetings as long as we make the necessary findings. Now, what's interesting is that the findings need to be made for 30 days going forward. And for agencies like the district that only meet once a month, it could be 31 days, 32 days in between the times that you meet. And so the conservative approach is to call a special meeting within the 30 days to make these findings to preserve your right to have these telephonic meetings. But that's kind of an absurd result in that it imposes an affirmative duty, another burden on agencies who want to continue the convenience of these telephonic meetings to call a special meeting just to make the findings, just to have the telephonic meetings. And so a lot of our clients that have meetings once a month are simply taking the position that the intent of the legislature in enacting this wasn't to impose that kind of burden. And so as long as we have this resolution on the consent calendar every time you meet, we'll probably be just fine in order to continue to have these telephonic meetings. And so that's the recommendation before you tonight.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so do we already ask for public comment? Yes.
I did have a quick question, Madam Chair, if I could.
Yes.
So, and thanks, Keith, for that staff report. I'm curious, and I maybe I missed it, but there's two resolutions, and they're virtually the same, with the exception for the now therefore be it resolved. Could not those be put into one resolution, or is there a purpose for the two separate resolutions?
The first resolution is the resolution that allows us, because the way the law is written, the first meeting that we have telephonically after October 1st, we need to make specific findings. And then thereafter, there are a separate set of findings. They're basically the same, but those need to be made for the 30 days after that meeting in order to continue the right to have the meeting telephonically. So the first is the initial resolution that allows us to preserve the right. And then the second resolution is the ongoing resolution that we'll just adopt at every meeting.
Okay, so it's the second resolution that'll just be on the consent calendar periodically moving forward.
Every time.
Every time. Okay. Now, I recall we had a similar discussion at the city level, but that we don't, our council didn't feel the need to have an ongoing resolution from a city standpoint. Is that the distinction between the city and a district? Is that the district does need to do it every 30 days or at each meeting?
I may disagree with your city attorney on that one.
Okay.
Aurora Grande is doing it every 30 days as well.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Not that I'm offering you legal advice in any way.
No. So ours opined that once was enough, but I will ask the question one more time.
All right. Thank you. If there's any more comments, there's not. Can we entertain a motion on this resolution?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we adopt the attached resolutions, the resolution making the initial finding for the need to continue to hold remote board meetings and to direct staff to place subsequent resolutions on upcoming consent calendars, making the necessary findings to continue to hold remote board meetings in accordance and as required by AB 361.
I will second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Amy, can we get a roll call, please?
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. That brings us to 6B. That's the contract for the coastal hazard monitoring with Rincon Consultants. So I'll turn this over to Jeremy.
Yeah. Do you have a report on this? Yeah. Good evening, Jeremy Jen, District Administrator. So the item before you is a contract for coastal hazards monitoring with Rincon Consultants. And it's recommended that you authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for environmental monitoring services with Rincon in the amount of $69,980 and authorize the district administrator to execute future contract amendments if required with Rincon Consultants for the Coastal Hazards Monitoring Program in an amount up to $6,998, 10% to address unanticipated changes to the monitoring program. And I wanted to take a moment. The next item, 6C, is will read similar to this, and I wanted to explain the nuance as I started this item. So there's really two things happening, and it's somewhat coincidental that they're occurring on the same night. So the item 6B that's before you right now is to do the annual reporting and monitoring for our coastal hazards monitoring plan, which is part of our coastal condition for the redundancy project. And so we have to make these annual reports and annual monitoring every year. Now, additionally to that, and I'll talk about it further when we get to item 6C, item 6C is a five-year deliverable out from our coastal permit, which we got in 2017. So we have a five-year deliverable coming up in 2022. And so I just wanted to explain that nuance now in case there was any confusion about why there's two items with similar titles, but they're not combined into one contract, and that's intentional. And I'm also going to try something a little bit different here. I'm going to share my screen and see. Can you all see the, and this is just a summary. I'm going to try this out and see if it works well. And it's really just the title. And I just wanted that up there while I'm going through the staff report. So a little bit of background. As I said, the Coastal Commission approved our coastal development permit. And in 2019, the board approved an initial contract with Rincon to implement our coastal hazards monitoring program, including monitoring and annual reporting.
Excuse me, Jeremy. The screen is 6A.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you.
In 2019, the district approved the initial contract with Rincon Consultants for the first annual reporting. On September 16th, 2020, the district approved our second year contract for rain years 20 and 21. And so throughout the 2 years of monitoring, Rincon collaborated with the district to develop and refine methods to address each aspect of the monitoring plan, provided the district and the Coastal Commission with a summary and analysis of the collected data and annual reports. This contract will provide the district with the required monitoring reporting as required by the Coastal Hazards Plan and satisfy the regulatory condition as established by the Coastal Commission. Fiscal considerations, the estimated cost of the base scope of services of $69,980. However, in the event of a high number of rain, we would have to augment that if we had a high frequency of rain events, and that's where the 10% contingency would apply. And so that would allow for a potential contract of amount of $76,978. Also, in addition, if we have questions specific to any technical items, Derek Lerma with Rincon Consultants is on the call and is eligible to answer any questions your board might have. And with that concludes my staff report, and I'd like to try to answer any questions you might have on the item.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Are there any questions from the board? I can't see Karen.
I have no questions. Karen, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'll open this now to public comment for item 6B.
There are no public commenters.
Okay, then I'll bring it back to the board. Anybody ready to make a motion on it?
I'd be happy to. I'm trying to get there. Hold on, I navigated. Different. I had to minimize my Zoom. Okay. I will move that we authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for environmental monitoring services with Rincon Consultants in the amount of $69,980, and that we authorize the district administrator to execute future contract amendments if required with Rincon Consultants for the Coastal Hazards Monitoring Program, in an amount up to $6,998 or 10% to address unanticipated changes in the monitoring program.
I will second.
All right, moved and seconded. May we get a roll call vote?
Director Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All righty, we'll go now to 6C, contract for coastal hazards response plan with MKN and associates. So we'll go back to Jeremy.
Good evening, Jeremy and Jen. The item before your board is a contract for coastal hazards response plan with MKN and Associates. So the recommendation is to authorize the district administrator to execute a contract for preparation of the coastal hazards response plan with Michael K. Nunley and Associates in the amount of $39,886. The California Coastal Commission issued the district's coastal development permit for the redundancy project. The requirements included development and submittal of a coastal hazards monitoring plan by November 10th, 2017, as well as a life expectancy analysis in May of 2019. These documents were intended to assist the development of a clear understanding of flooding and sea level rise at the site, as well as to inform 10-year reevaluations. Both deadlines were met, and the district is currently completing the second year of coastal hazards monitoring under the plan. An additional requirement of the CDP is to develop and submit a coastal hazards response plan by May 10th, 2022, to expand on previous work that studied alternative site locations, relocation feasibility issues, and costs related to eventual wastewater treatment plant relocation. For the CDP, the main coastal hazards response plan requirements include the following. We need to study alternative site locations for the wastewater treatment plant, provide detailed cost-benefit analysis comparing the cost and benefits of maintaining the plant at its current site versus relocating the plant to an area that would be safer from coastal hazards. And then we need to include the timeline of potential major relocation events, including expected timeframes for land acquisition, planning, permitting, design, construction, eventual operation of the relocated plant. So again, going back to what I was explaining earlier, this is a condition, and so this is the five-year out deliverable that shows we're making progress to studying these challenges as we move forward. And you'll see it this 5 year, and then again at 5 years from the 2022 in 2027, and again in 2037, we'll have submittals to the Coastal Commission that kind of expand upon this effort to know the differences between staying at this site and moving inland. Mike Dunley has partnered with Rincon Consultants and prepared the attached proposal for the development of the Coastal Hazards Response Plan. The two firms bring prior knowledge to the district and the wastewater redundancy project. MKN serves as the district's project manager on a redundancy project and previously assisted with the CDP application. So their scope of service includes coordinate and attend the kickoff and progress meetings, review historical reports, analysis, coordinate the district and regional stakeholders, prepare the analysis of coastal hazards and resource impacts required for the response plan, prepare a cost evaluation update utilizing cost opinions developed during and maintaining the wastewater treatment plant at the existing location, incorporating the requirements of the CDP and bringing cost to current values, prepare and submit the plan to be reviewed by the district, address any comments and revises necessary, and then submit the final plan to the Coastal Commission as required. Fiscal considerations, MKN is proposing to complete this with a budget of $39,886 that will not be exceeded without written authorization from the district. And we are proposing the way the contract structured with some if authorized tasks, we're not proposing a contingency with this contract. And with that, Ms. Eileen Shields is also on the call along with Derek Lerma, their partner in preparing this, if there's any technical questions about the proposal. And with that, I'd like to open it up for any questions or discussion that your board might have.
Okay, thank you for that, Jeremy. Is there any questions or discussion?
Just one quick question, Madam Chair, and I apologize, Jeremy, for not giving you a heads up on this question. It's not non-technical, but more along the lines of competitiveness. Was MKN and Rincon the only proposal we received, or did we get multiple proposals on this effort?
This particular proposal at the cost point that it was at was initially kind of being looked at under my authority at under 30,000, and it did climb above it. We did not go, it's a professional service, so we are compliant with contract code. We did not have to go out for a proposal for this, but no, this is a sole source with MKN. And the reason it's done that way is because of the past work in preparing leading up to this effort. And so to go out, there would be that missing historic knowledge, both on the coastal hazards reporting, which Rincon brings in, and then the coastal development permit conditions that were developed in conjunction with MKN. And so that's why staff is recommending that it's financially prudent to make a sole source award in this case.
Okay, very good. And so perhaps just either a question for you or Mr. Collins, is that do we need to make a finding of a sole source as part of our recommendation or our motion for the contract execution?
I don't read the purchasing policies to require that finding, but it wouldn't hurt to make that finding, no.
Okay, Ken. Are there any other questions or comments before I open the public comment?
Questions, thank you.
You have a question? No, Ken, I can't see.
I just said I don't have any questions.
Okay, thank you, thank you. We're on the side here and I can't see. Then we'll open the public comment now.
There is no public comment.
Okay. Then we will come back. I support the staff report on this wholeheartedly. So is there anyone want to make a motion?
I'll go ahead and make a motion and I'll make a recommendation that we authorize the district administrator to execute a sole source contract for preparation of a coastal hazards response plan with Michael K. Nunley and Associates, MKM, in the amount of $39,886.
Second.
Okay, moved and second, and may we get a roll call, please.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Ray Russum?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All righty, thank you. Now we're down to item 6D, authorize the execution of a contract amendment number 4 for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project construction phase.
So many contracts tonight.
Pending USDA and concurrence. So, Jeremy, we'll turn it back over to you for item 6D.
Okay. Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you, item 6D, is to authorize execution of a contract amendment, amendment number 4 for wastewater treatment plant redundancy project construction phase engineering services with Kennedy Jenks Consultants Incorporated, pending USDA concurrence. A little bit of background on this. I touched on this a little bit last month, and I want to take a moment to explain, and there's some good numbers in the staff report that outlines the work and the detail that the staff and MKN and M&S and KJ sat down to really try to tighten up an estimate and bring forward a contract that would take us to completion. And what we're dealing with is a higher number of really requests for information, which contractors issue when they have questions. And so KJ's contract is kind of set up, and I'll make an analogy. It's like paying a teacher based on how many questions when a student raises their hand, the teacher gets paid every time they answer a question. And so the contractor is raising their hands and KJ gets paid to answer those questions. And so we had to estimate that at the beginning. And this contract goes back, initially it was awarded in 2016 with Kennedy Jenks. And so this engineering services during construction is really intended for them to answer all these questions on requests for information and what's called product submittals. And one of the things that wasn't anticipated, obviously, was COVID. And there is a higher number of questions from the contractor as they struggle to source and locate materials. There's additional substitutions being requested. And, that's not really covered in the contract on whose risk that was, who owned that going into the contract. And pandemics create a whole legal opportunity for challenges on this type of stuff. So the district sat down with KJ and said, okay, so to answer all these questions, and how much more would your contract need to be? And out of the initial contract amount of, I don't have that, it was $850,124 to provide those engineering services. We need to increase that by $136,330 to actually what we believe to reach completion of the project. And we do have a representative from Kennedy Jenks on the line if there's any specific questions. And I do wanna say that some of the information outlined here, Kennedy Jenks has been answering the questions cheaper than they anticipated. So the question, it's how many hours does it take to answer the question? So they've been doing a good job turning them around. They've stayed on schedule with that. But there's just a higher number of questions than what we had initially anticipated coming in, to the point where we've already expended answering the request for information budget. So with that, staff's recommending this increase, and I'm happy to answer any questions or elaborate in any areas at your board's liking.
All right, thank you very much, Jeremy. Does anyone have any questions? No questions. Karen, no questions?
Very quickly, I might have missed it, but just know I've been in jury duty all day, so my brain is really fried right now. How often will we be looking at this in this way? How often will we be kind of reevaluating the answering of the questions, all that sort of stuff?
So I would consider this somewhat tight as far as getting us to the end without much fluff. So there would be risk that we might have to revisit again if something happened with a higher number of questions, but we don't anticipate having to reopen this for sure. And we should be able to continue through the end of construction with this.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I apologize if you already said it, but my brain kind of went in and out for a second there. So thank you.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So I'm going to open this to public comment now.
There is no public comment.
Okay. Well, then we'll come back, and if there's nothing more to say, we can ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion to authorize the district administrator to execute a contract amendment for construction phase design engineering services for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with Kennedy Jenks Consultants Incorporated in the amount of $136,330, pending review and concurrence from USDA staff.
And I'll second that.
All right. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Lee?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Moving right along to item 6E, which will be the summary, a report on the community workforce agreement and performance to date. Ow.
You okay?
Yeah. Sorry.
So good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is a summary of the community workforce agreement and the local hire goals performance to date. It's recommended that you receive and file the report. So a little bit of background. On August 21st, 2019, the board adopted a community workforce agreement to be applied to the district's redundancy project. The district's board's interest in utilizing the CWA was to provide a mechanism to prioritize participation of the local workforce. Additionally, a CWA can provide improved labor management relationships, provides rules for resolving disputes and grievances, and reduces potential for various work stoppages. In our CWA, there were three tiers of local hires based on zip codes and the proximity to the district, with tier one being local workers' zip codes included inside the district boundaries. Tier two were local workers' zip codes that lived in San Luis Obispo County. Tier three workers are from northern Santa Barbara County, the Santa Maria area largely. The development of the CWA set a goal for local hires at 30% of the workforce come from the three tiers. The district procured Pacific Resource Services to serve as the community workforce coordinator. This service oversees compliance with the community workforce agreement and serves as an interface between the contractor, FELONS, and the various trades subject to the CWA, the different union labor forces that are subject to the CWA. At the September 15th, 2021 board meeting, the district board asked that a presentation be made on the performance of the community workforce agreement. So staff reached out to Pacific Resources to get an updated report, and under the the 30% metric, we're seeing all hours worked at 57.23% of the hours that have been worked on the redundancy project have been from the local workforce. So that means we're not quite double our goal in employing a local workforce. So we certainly exceed the goal. I was cautioned that that number will likely droop as because of some of the heavy work that goes, but there is no apparent risk that we would ever go below the 30%. And we expect it to stay above 50%, but we don't know that the 57 will hold throughout the duration of the project. Another item that was allowed in the CWA was apprentice participation. And so apprentices are the unskilled labor that is trying to become skilled and learn. And so our project allowed participation of up to 30% of their workers could be apprentice workers. And so we also looked at that performance. And so that's one we don't want to exceed. If we have too many unskilled people on the job, that would be bad, right? So if we go above 30, so this is one we want to stay below. And so currently we're seeing about 21.5% of the workforce is apprentice workers. So again, why that's important is this project is providing opportunities to educate local workers and provide them skills for higher wage earning jobs. And so that's why the apprentice program is of value and of note in this type of report. On the administration side, we looked to see if there were any problems administering the CWA, and to date, we have not had to handle any complaints or grievances through the CWA, and so currently we're exceeding all of our metrics in the community workforce agreement, and we feel that it's been applied successfully at this point. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that your board might have about the report and the CWA.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments from Jeff or Karen?
I have no questions. I only have comments, so I'll wait until after public comment if there is any.
Okay. Jeff, do you want to?
Same with me, no questions, just a quick comment.
Okay, you want to comment now or wait for public comment? After public comment?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to open this for public comment now.
There is no public comment.
All right. Jeff Lee.
I was going to say, I'll let Director Ray Russell go first. Okay. Ladies first.
Thank you. I just want to say I'm just ecstatic about this. This is turning out to be exactly at this point what we hoped it would be. And we've knocked it out of the park in terms of local hire, which is the purpose of that. And especially during COVID, when that made a difference for a lot of families, I'm quite sure when they didn't have to leave to go find work, I'm just so ecstatic. I'm so excited. I understand that this number may go down, but it is by all measures doing what we intended it to do and what we'd hoped it would do. So I'm very excited. I look forward to all the future reports on this.
Okay, very good, Jeff.
My comments are similar in the fact that I appreciate staff's willingness to move forward with this and to see the results of it. And I knew that Director Ray Russell would say what my thoughts were, but in a much more eloquent and much more effective manner. So I just want to say thank you and keep up the good work to both the staff as well as to the contractor and all the workers to keep this moving forward in such a beneficial fashion.
Yes, very good. I want to echo the comments too. I'm very pleased that this is turning out the way it is. I'm very, very happy with this report. So thank you to everyone on that. And that's the receive and file. So that was a good thing to finish up on. Now we'll go to the district administrator and plant operators report.
So again, good evening, Jeremy Gent, district administrator. I've got a brief district administrator's report, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Jones. He can go through the plant operations report. So on the redundancy project, construction continues to progress. No notable issues on construction. The concrete floors on both of the large structures are completely installed. Several concrete wall sections have started to come up. We're coming out of the ground now with our construction. So we had the rain event on October 25th. We got on site, we got 1.62 inches. We were interested in, you know, how the dewatering system and how the plant was going to perform. No issues from the rain event. And actually by 10:30 that day, they did a massive concrete pour after the rain had stopped and the sun had came out. So they were able to get a full day's of work in on that rain day. So it's not even recorded as a rain day on the construction log. On Central Coast Blue, the district was asked to provide some information to the project team on Central Coast Blue. And we provided some manhole invert elevations out on Highway 1 and provided them with a copy of our full GIS system that shows all of our sewer mains throughout the various communities. I did have one other thing to note. I was just notified this week on Monday that one of the lead engineers for Central Coast Blue from WSC, Dan Heimel, has left WSC. And so he was my primary point of contact for the project. And so getting some of these updates, I have to reconnect and working on getting a response for who now is the lead from WSC for the project. And so I just wanted the board to be aware of that. Dan had a lot of history with that. And Karen's raising her hand. She might be able to speak to that as well, or interested in speaking to that.
I was on the phone right before this meeting with our city manager, and as I understand it, CCB is going to be back contracting with Dan going forward just until they find out how they're going to proceed. So there will be some continuity in the meantime.
Okay, good. So that's all I had on Central Coast Blue. Some miscellaneous items. District staff has been visiting and inspecting and sampling from all of our brine disposals and sites. As the board knows, we have a program where we allow outside haulers to come in and dispose of what's considered a low threat discharge. It's a lot of water softener type brine. It's high in salt and it gets discharged to the ocean. And so we wanted to make inspections of their facilities and sample from their source and do our own testing. And so our lab technician, Erica Frost, has coordinated all that. And her, Michael, and I have visited most of these facilities, and we have a few coming this month that will continue to close them all out to just make sure that we know what they're producing, what they're using, and have a good understanding of what they're doing on their end before it gets to our plant. Just being thorough. So kudos to Erica for that. Another miscellaneous item, the district at the request of the Regional Water Quality Control Board is participating in a technical research opportunity with what's called the Civic Spark Fellowship Program. Some of you may have heard of that. The Civic Spark Program is intended to provide scientific resources to assist climate change adaptation. Our particular fellow is a woman named Caroline Webster. She's a Northwestern graduate and from Illinois. She's from Ohio, but she went to school in Illinois. And she's an environmental policy graduate. And so the regional board reached out. And so she's going to be working with our facility and then a facility in Santa Barbara called the El Estero Wastewater Treatment Plant that has some similarities with, you know, these coastal hazards. And that's really what she's working on is, you know, what type of tools can be developed that will assist these government agencies that have to combat climate change and things like, do you do flood protection on site, or the exact type of questions we talked about earlier with our coastal hazards response plan, like what does moving inland look like, and how does the government create policy that makes that easier or more streamlined or affordable to do. And so she's working on that policy side of stuff. And so we were open to the concept of having her look at our case and see what conditions we have and working on developing policy that may assist, you know, potentially us. I think there's little opportunity just because of the timeline, but it will likely assist the the state and coastal facilities throughout the country, even potentially. So it's great to partner and share the knowledge as we can. Another miscellaneous item, the County Flood Control District convened a science panel to steer and review efforts for the County Meadow Creek Lagoon, which the Meadow Creek Lagoon is the lagoon that's right here adjacent to the plant that goes under Pier Avenue and adjacent to the airport here in Oceano. And the county has a restoration project for that lagoon that's intended to restore some of the wetlands and actually provide enhanced flood protection for some of these low-lying areas, including the facility here. And so as part of that program, part of their grant funding, they were required to have what's called a science panel. And they reached out and asked if I would sit on the science panel as well. And so the additional representatives are from State Parks, NOAA Marine Fisheries, and the Army Corps of Engineers and the Local Resource Conservation District. Another miscellaneous item. On Monday of this week, I attended a meeting in Los Osos with Senator John Laird and some other general managers of special districts. And he was wanting to know what challenges small districts were having with items like climate change. And so it ended up being fairly informal. There were six folks in attendance in addition to the senator. And we had to sit around the table and talk about some of the challenges. And one of the takeaways was he was going to look toward possible earmarks for smaller agencies to be able to ensure that agencies have a competitive opportunity to go after these grant funds. Even when you're a smaller agency, when you're trying to compete with someone that might have access to consultants to prepare all of these different grant proposals and stuff like that. And so really just setting the bar a little lower for these type of applications for smaller agencies. And that was echoed by everyone that was in attendance. Continuing on, we didn't have any plant tours, and a tentative item coming up at the December 1st meeting would be the financial audit for the 2021 fiscal year. And with that concludes my administrator's report. I know I talked a lot, so I think I'll pause and take questions now before I turn it over to Michael.
Any questions? No, great report, Jeremy. I'm really glad you're on that panel.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now let's hear from Michael for the plant operator's report.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. I'm presenting the plant operations report for the reporting period of September 1st through October 28th. During the month of September, the district's facility met its NPDES permits requirements. Unfortunately, during the month of October, the district facility exceeded its NPDES permit limit for daily maximum fecal coliform bacteria on October 20th. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has been notified. All other process values were within permit limitations. Immediately following the violation, is a fecal coliform violation, we returned back to normal. During this exceedance, the cause of this exceedance is unknown. There were no operational changes or process abnormalities observed. In addition, our chlorine residual was higher than normal, than normally observed, which leads operations staff to believe that either the treatment plant received a higher than normal load to the facility, or there may have been procedural errors during sampling or analysis. I think we may have received something. Again, there's no way I can prove that. Again, our staff is well trained in the lab and performing this analysis, so I don't really think it was sampling. But there are many variables that can occur when sampling happens or when performing the analysis. Again, we're testing for fecal coliform bacteria. So say, if you have something on your gloves and you touch the glass, or, there's so many variables that can occur. But operation staff will continue to investigate the possible cause and monitor all processes. And due to this being our fourth violation within 180 days, a mandatory minimum penalty of $3,000 will be assessed to the district due to this violation. Some operations and maintenance tasks that staff completed. We completed installation of the new sludge bed water line and valve, landscaped front lawn and area around the flagpole. We prepared new Helen strainers for installation, checked and marked underground service alerts, performed weed abatement throughout plant premises, drilled a hole at digester number 2 sump for communication cable for the level sensor, removed and repaired the fixed film reactor cable support for the distributor arm, installed and repaired cable support for the distributor arm on the FFR, installed new chlorine contact tank chemical probe supports. There was a power outage September 9th. Operation staff were on site and thoroughly inspected the plant. All processes remained in normal operation. Troubleshot our Amiod reclaimed water filters. We troubleshot the centrifuge lube reset programming issue. We replaced the manhole cover in the seed farm and placed sewer line markers. Replaced the broken hose reel at our digester number 2 sump. We troubleshot our ferric chloride pump at our Grit King. We prepared for our midnight shutdown to inspect our headworks wet well and influent pump number 3 inlet for blockage. We performed the midnight shutdown to allow fluid resource management to perform the confined space entry to the headworks wet well to clean and inspect the inlet to the influent pump number 3. During this, there was a substantial amount of debris in the wet well, and we also found a bucket that was blocking the inlet to the number 3 pump. But that wasn't the issue with the number 3 pump. We actually just found out that the previous motor that we had installed in the number 3 pump was larger as far as the RPM. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be installing a larger volute for the smaller size motor that is currently installed. So that'll be occurring here pretty soon. We adjusted our front gate to the treatment plant. We installed new Helen strainers at the reclaimed water station. We cleaned up our plant shop, flushed our digester number 1 feed line. We troubleshot our FFR pump number 1 VFD controller failure, began rehabilitation of our removed Helen strainer. We repaired our digester drip trap. West Coast Gauging performed our annual maintenance to the methane gas equipment and our flare. Some work orders that staff completed were rinsing all surfaces of the clarifiers. We deragged both primary sludge pumps, test ran emergency generator and bypass pump. Performed annual plant switchover to test our emergency backup generator under plant load. We performed our monthly safety walk. We performed some preventative maintenance on all of our clarifier drive units, our digester mixing pump, our 6-inch trash pump, mechanical bar screens, digester vacuum pressure relief valves, our fixed film reactor, our water champ, our front loader, our forklift. We rinsed our disinfection probes, calibrated our backup disinfection systems, replaced the heating and air conditioning filter. We flushed our sodium bisulfite header. Some training that staff participated in was on the centrifuge sludge bed feed switchover between digester number 1 to digester number 2, distracted driving, and safety in the rain. And there were no callouts during this reporting period. And with that concludes my operations report, and I am available to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you very much. Michael, any questions? Any questions for Michael? No questions? Okay, we'll open public comment for the district administrator and the plant operations report.
There is no public comment.
Okay. Then we're board member communications. Anything from the board?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. Okay, happy Thanksgiving. Well, I just want to thank the staff and, you know, for all the work. This is a great agenda, a good meeting, and I want to thank the staff for all the hard work and that's going into that, keeping that plant going good. I see the workers go by every day back and forth, and it's good to see that activity and know that it's protecting our community. So thank you for all you're doing. With that.
Oh, wait, let me add one more thing. So what I'm thankful for. Okay. At the Sanitation District. I just want to say as a board member, these staff reports have been really good in the last few months. I have had almost no questions each time. You know, I will not hesitate to ask them when I have them. It's just been really easy to really weigh the issues and see what the financial considerations are. And And we might have a question or two, but they've really been outstanding. And that's because we have outstanding administrator and we have outstanding employees and we have outstanding counsel. So I just want to say thank you for that.
I second that. Absolutely. Thank you so much for everyone. Okay. Good night and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Good night.
Thanks.